Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right, Alice. I have new favorite people. Just when I thought that I was going to be a Tibbetts Tuttle fan. What was that lady?
Tibbetts.
The
nut.
Tibbetts nut. The woman who looks like she...
Because the Herald Splash was off her nut.
Oh, God. They missed me and Chaka over there. Just... I thought it was going to be Tibbetts nut. With her smug attitude and military Elvis haircut?
Yes.
No. No. I have two new favorites. So, and Columbia University, you know, they're yelling at all the Jews at Columbia University.
Yes.
Because all the students and the faculty are fans of Hamas and the terrorism and the rapes and all that. They love that stuff. So they're all yelling at all the Jews.
They think it's great. Yep.
I think it's awesome. So, and I love they killed the key card of a Jewish faculty member, too, who was like, who was getting too much attention on social media. But I have two new favorite people there. As most of the people, I assume Tibbetts Nut is a good anti-Semite, too. I have two new good friends. My two favorite people of 2024, Alice. Do you know who they are?
Calling it early. Wow.
So far.
Okay.
I mean, there's been a jump.
We're not even halfway in, though.
There's been a jump.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said. There's been a jump. Out of nowhere. And these are two people, Catherine and Aiden. And there is this I've tweeted this out. There is this video of this woman, demure little lady, that's Catherine, and this absolute pussy named Aiden, and they are demanding, since they're having their pro-Hamas rally, he's got his Arafat tablecloth on.
Mm-hmm.
His is, and it's all like tied around his neck, like he's, you know, about to join Peter O'Toole on horseback or camelback,
right.
Whatever. And she also has an Arafat, well, it's not the Arafat pattern, but one of those things. And anyway... This tone that they speak to us in is freaking so. I've named it Dog Park Mafia because you know there's a certain kind of people who meet at dog parks,
mm-hmm.
and they usually blow into their Stanley Cups while they're doing that.
Right.
But it's a name. It's being workshopped. The name. So don't hold me to it. Listen to Catherine and Aiden.
My name's Catherine.
My name's Aiden.
We're just actually trying to have a community meeting in a second.
Right, it's the same thing.
Well, we're asking you nicely, yeah, so please.
Why can't we be on the lawn?
Because
I'm
you're not respecting the safety.
That's Aiden, the pussy, who goes with a... He's, by the way, not shockingly, Aiden has some piercings. I am not a strong man, Alice. or and I'm not a fighter, and I don't really know how to go about fighting. I wrestled a couple of kids during my time in like junior high.
Mm-hmm.
I could beat the shit out of this pussy any day of the year.
Really?
Aiden
mm-hmm.
is a fucking pussy. Oh, sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I can't help myself. I'll bleep that out. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine the tone? Yeah, hi, I'm Catherine, and I'm Aiden, and we're asking in the name of safety. We're trying to have a meeting here. And in other words,
safe from Jewish people?
Yeah, because these Jews have arrived as if the campus is theirs too.
Right, as if public spaces on the campus allow Jewish people to be with everybody else.
But they're not, because the Jews are bad occupiers, colonizers. And so Catherine and Aiden need them to leave. I gotta play this louder, so I know it's a little low.
My name's Aiden.
We're just actually trying to have a community meeting, is that?
Right, it's the same thing.
Conversation.
Well, we're asking you nicely, so please leave.
Why can't we be on the lawn?
Because you're not respecting the safety.
So there you go. Can you imagine, like, being so confused? Not only are you these people who seem like they were conceived at Trader Joe's, I'm going to use a measured tone, okay? That mm-hmm. I'm speaking with you. I'm making eye contact. I'm speaking to you. I'm going to speak to you, Jew, like you're a person, okay? I'm going to afford you that respect, even though, I mean, really. But I'm going to do it. So we're asking you respectfully. I'm going to ask you, and Aiden's going to ask you, please, because the presence of you, vermin, makes us feel unsafe. So can you please leave the quad, which is a public space at this college, where your parents are also paying $100,000 to go?
Right. How dare you?
Look, how we... These people are going to be decision makers.
Mm-hmm. A bunch of them already are in Congress, by the way. Lunatics like this.
Yes. Can you imagine that? I mean, I'm sorry. I have never let two people who more need a vicious pit bull mauling than these two. It's amazing. And now the best thing is, and this is why I'm starting to love this story.
Yeah.
The best thing is that now the faculty at Barnard College, which is the college right next to this place, Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of the students who were arrested at Columbia were from Barnard. Now the faculty is leading a walkout, demanding that there be no suspensions.
No suspensions! Now!
I'm not comfortable, by the way, with the grammatical soundness of saying, what do we want? No suspensions.
I mean, we want no suspensions. Sort of. It makes sense.
What do we want? No suspensions. So, I just don't like it. I think they mm-hmm. can do better as faculty, but this is them.
No suspensions!
But they are marching to President Rosenberry's office.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Uh-oh. And obviously, well, he's got to be... He's not allowed, according to Catherine and Aiden, in the quad, by the way.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
Rosenberry!
There's hundreds, if not 1,000 people there. Can you imagine the rot at that college?
Well, right. I mean, geez, where are the students getting it, I wonder?
Yeah, no kidding. Obviously.
And if you are parents of a Jewish student, how do you feel about the fact that they have to go to class in the classroom of a professor who's marching to allow the anti-Semitic student protests to happen on campus without anybody ever getting in trouble?
Right.
These schools aren't, by the way, they're not just suspending people for like attending protests as free speech, because that's like thousands of kids. They're suspending kids who are explicitly like harassing people, hurting people, damaging property, getting arrested, like the Vanderbilt kids, you know, who are like causing actual problems.
It's going to. I cannot wait for the lawsuits to happen. I cannot wait for people to sue the hell out of these people.
And Pat Horowitz was tweeting, as you pointed out, and I had sent to us also earlier about the, in his like Columbia group chat, it said, my husband just picked up our freshman daughter at school. He double parked and barged through a gate to get her on College Walk and escorted her out through the gauntlet of nasty protesters. She tried to put up with being on campus, staying strong and holding her ground, but the noise and viciousness finally got to her and she couldn't sleep or concentrate anymore. My husband and daughter felt like refugees fleeing a war zone. And to top it all off, at the 116th and Amsterdam gate, they yelled at my husband to go back to Poland. So, I mean, these colleges are going to owe people back a lot of money when students leave.
I mean, that's going to be just the beginning.
Right. Because there's going to be discrimination lawsuits and stuff, too.
Oh, I would say so. I would say there's at least a smattering of Jewish people who might be in the legal business, as a matter of fact, Alice.
Possibly. That's possibly true. And, you know, being Jewish is a protected class, and you know, I don't necessarily want to get into all the ins and outs of anti-discrimination law and whether or not it should be that way, but being Jewish is a protected class under anti-discrimination law. You can't discriminate against Jewish people. You can, however, discriminate against people who like Hamas.
Right.
That's not a protected class, especially, I mean, if you're Muslim, then you might be able to say it's because you're Muslim, but if you're a white suburban kid who just likes Hamas,
Aiden.
Like Aiden, yep. Or Catherine, which is not, I believe, a traditionally Muslim name, Catherine.
I don't know that it is, no.
Then you're going to have a hard time saying that you were discriminated against because of any kind of protected characteristic.
Yes. Well, especially, so, by the way, especially if, by the way, you're a kid named Chad from Cambridge, Massachusetts, whose descendants came on the Mayflower.
Right, exactly. So you're going to, if the school has to pick who it's safer for them to get rid of, it's going to be you.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that that at Barnard here, the faculty is like trying to cannibalize.
The faculty there, I mean,
the walls could fall in right now and there wouldn't be a weep tear in my eye.
Right.
All these places could fold.
Yeah, and it should happen anyway. I mean, like, and I know people are of two minds on this because I know a lot of, obviously, you know, a lot of Jewish people have been liberals and have been supportive a lot of this DEI stuff before it came for them. And, you know, so there is a contingent on the right of people kind of saying, like, where were you when they were saying all this stuff about, like, white people in general, but now that only when, like, the words, like, occupier and oppressor came for you, do you have a problem? Like, you liked all the DEI when you thought Jewish people
right.
were going to be included in the victim class. It's only because they're counting
yes.
you as white that you don't like
Which
it now.
Which is delicious. That
right.
This
and,
happening.
I mean, like, so,
I mean,
yeah, but
the
I'll
irony
take,
is happening.
But I'll take the allies where we can get them. Anyone who can see
sure.
how dangerous this ideology is, like, I'll take the Bill Ackmans of the world, even if they didn't get it before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like, totally. I want to play this. This is the professor trying to get in. This guy's gotten pretty big in the last few days.
Media in? Is the university keeping the media out? This is the COO of the university. Are we not letting the media in?
He tries his card.
Can you back up, please? My card has been deactivated? Yeah. Why?
Can you back up, please?
Uh-huh.
Wait. Everybody, my card has been deactivated. This is Cass Holloway, the COO. This is Gerald Lewis. They were in the meeting where I asked them if Hamas is a terror organization, and they couldn't say that it is a terrorist organization. Why? I'm a professor. Why can't I?
Shy,
No. Speak out loud so the media
can hear. Shy, we are willing to take you to the math lawn.
No. I am a professor here.
We are alumnus. We have a
everybody quiet.
Imagine that. We're willing to take you to the math lawn, he says to the Jewish guy, who they didn't want to give access to the university where he works at anymore.
Right.
Because he's making the Hamas lovers uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By simply asserting his human rights.
Right. And
I'm glad this guy's being a pain in the ass, and mm-hmm. I hope that he sues the frig out of him.
I am a professor here. I have every right to be everywhere on campus. You cannot let people that support Hamas on campus and me, a professor, not go on campus. Let me in now.
Let us in.
No.
Let Shai in.
Are you not letting a professor go on
campus? Let him in. Let him in.
Yeah, taking the hard line when it comes to the Jewish professor.
Of course.
Nope. Can't come in. Sorry about that. Talk about freaking how the people who lived in the town of Auschwitz looked at the smokestack and went into denial.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody...
We just have to corral the Jews over here.
Well, everybody who believes that they're doing... I mean, like, everybody who does things like that, commits atrocities like that, believes that they're doing something good and sympathetic and nice. Nobody would do anything otherwise.
Yeah, no, or morally righteous, certainly.
Right.
In one way or another, right. Well, but also, it's also, if you're eradicating a vermin that you don't consider humid, well, that's productivity if you're a Nazi or somebody at Columbia.
Yeah.
And that brings me to something I want to ask you, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about this today.
Yes.
What do we do in this country if something happens, let's say Iran works with Hezbollah and God knows who, and actually, takes over part of Israel. This is a big hypothetical.
Okay.
And then they begin executing Israelis publicly,
okay,
systematically. And you've got these college kids cheering for it. What if we have college kids? What if we've got the majority of kids in most big blue colleges,
mm-hmm,
like the idea of a new Holocaust, and they act it out in front of us? At what time, at one point do we say, oh, okay, this generation is vile, bloodlust-filled monsters? Because this is not Occupy Wall Street.
Isn't it already?
This isn't kids being kids.
Isn't it all, didn't we already have the October 7th thing? Was that, not enough for people to say? It's, monstrous to support a group that does that?
You're right, because
I mean, is that not, I don't understand,
the problem
why
is,
we need to imagine further scenarios right now, because, October 7th already happened.
The problem is Catherine and Aiden were thrilled by October 7th.
Yeah, they were retweeting Black Lives Matter, tweeting out little paratroopers.
What did you think that the revolution was going to look like? I have to ask you respectfully, says Aiden.
Yeah. Decolonization was not a metaphor.
Right.
I mean,
They know right now that the mm-hmm, Hamas is holding on to some girls so that they can keep violating them.
Right. I mean, they all know that not only was there a ceasefire on October 6th, there was also a ceasefire, a few months ago that Hamas also violated, and that the reason there's not a ceasefire now is because Hamas won't give back the rest of the hostages.
So
it's so absurd for them to be like, ceasefire. Yeah, people keep offering Hamas a ceasefire. That's the problem, is they don't want to give back the people that they're raping. You're for one or you're for the other.
And
Morgan in the chat says, you could argue this whole thing is good because it removes the veil of sanity. Let the colleges expose themselves. Sometimes you have to burn it all down before you build it back up again. I mean, yeah, if this stops us, for example, from giving out student loans for people to attend college.
I mean, that itself is something Joe Biden should be incarcerated for right now. I can't think of that because there's nothing that makes me more angry than that. But yeah, I mean, these professors are really, really good. That they've taken moral ownership of these kids. How do you program someone? And that's why I say they're all Manson girls. It's like Linda Kasabian.
Mm-hmm.
How do you tell somebody that stabbing the 22-year-old beautiful blonde actress who's pregnant, stabbing her to death and playing with her blood is a vile thing and not a good... How do you convince somebody that's fun and good to fucking brutally murder...
Right.
Sorry, brutally murder Sharon Tate and the other people in that room... those girls came from good families,
right?
But that's what we've got here. These college kids are monsters.
Mm-hmm.
They're monsters. And this initial reaction to take down pictures of the posters of people, it's wow. I didn't know. Apparently, there's when you're on Prozac and everything else that these college kids take, learning, Marxist. Education is really sticky, really works. It takes,
yeah,
because it should be usually, even if you hate the person. Mm-hmm. I can't think, who do we hate right now? Okay, you know who you could have hated?
Mm-hmm.
You could have hated Germans after World War II, having completely and totally effed up that entire century and Europe for the next 30 years, and needlessly causing the world, all these countries to employ meat grinders. But we still don't look at the mass rapes of German women after that as a good thing. You're supposed to not love the idea of moms and daughters being raped in their own apartments,
mm-hmm.
you know, by Soviets. You know, you're supposed to not love it. Like, it's only when it comes to Jews that we can applaud. Yeah, that was a good rape. That's good. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I am not somebody who's ever bought it. I thought that, like, always saying that Trump had a anti-Semitic trope here and there, et cetera. I think the ADL gets way over its skis way too often. But holy hell.
Right.
It's only, and this is, the people doing this is polite society. These people have parents who are from nice places.
Mm-hmm.
Like West Hartford and Cambridge, Mass. And Concord, Mass. And like, in places where this is not supposed to be happening. But their kids are monsters. I don't know necessarily that all their boomer parents are monsters, but they've certainly created offspring.
Yeah, and it's weird because a lot of these towns, like, I'm sure have lots of Jewish kids in them.
Yes.
I mean, just like these universities have lots of Jewish kids at them.
Yeah, New Haven, Yale.
Yeah.
Big Jewish population. But meanwhile, these kids are doing that. You just got to think. You know, they were saying in the commentary podcast that during Vietnam, first it was about love, make love, not war, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And, ceasefire.
Right. But then, you know, there were some, including like Jane Fonda, radicals who just threw in fully with the Viet Cong and the North right. Vietnamese. And so that was a little more vile. But, and that was certainly a brutal communist movement, yada, yada, yada. But at least that was an ideology that can be romanticized. This ideology of exterminating Jews by, Muslim fanatics, who wants to be that character in anything?
I know, it's weird. It's not exactly like, you know, the communists in places like Vietnam, when like the Jane Fondas went there, they like made it look good, like they were really living in the socialist utopia that everyone imagined. They like pretended that they had a good thing going on, but like Hamas doesn't pretend. They like put out the videos of the rapes and killings and stuff themselves, and still like people in the universities are like, yeah, that looks good, that's great, looks good to me. Like, I guess, you know, Ho Chi Minh didn't realize he didn't have to, like, put on a big show for American leftists. They could see the worst stuff and they would love it.
All right. You want to get into your do that thing or?
Well, I want to touch a couple other more normal things first.
Okay, go ahead.
Before I get to that. One is, did you see this thing with this company, Sheetz Inc.?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, Biden walked into the gas station or the business.
Well, it's a convenience.
No, I'm sorry. I saw the
lawsuit.
The Wawa
thing.
Is what I saw.
No, he did go to a Sheetz recently.
Okay.
But this, it's a convenience store chain.
Yep.
Sheetz, stylized with a Z, Sheetz. We must not have these around here. I don't know.
It's probably in Philly.
The Sheetz convenience store chain has been hit with a lawsuit by federal officials who allege that the company is discriminating against minority job applicants. Do you want to guess how they're discriminating against minority job applicants?
They're not allowing theft?
President Joe Hair? Biden stopped by a Sheetz for snacks this week while campaigning in Pennsylvania. Sheetz Inc., which operates more than 700 stores in 6 states, discriminated against Black, Native American, and multiracial job seekers by...
A drug test.
Close. By automatically weeding out applicants who the company deemed to have failed a criminal background check, according to U.S. officials.
Oh my, that is racism.
The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed suit in Baltimore against Altoona, Pennsylvania-based Sheetz and two subsidiary companies, alleging the chain's longstanding hiring practices have a disproportionate impact on minority applicants and thus run afoul of federal civil rights laws. Sheetz says Thursday that it does not tolerate discrimination of any kind. Diversity and inclusion are essential parts of who we are. We take these allegations seriously. We have attempted to work with the EEOC for nearly 8 years to find common ground and resolve this dispute, the company spokesperson Nick Ruffner said in a statement. The privately held family-run company has more than 23,000 employees and operates convenience stores and gas stations in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, Maryland, Ohio, and North Carolina. Those seem like states that President Biden would not want to piss people off in right now.
Yes.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yes.
The lawsuit was filed in federal court Wednesday, the day Biden stopped at a Sheetz market on a Western Pennsylvania campaign swing, buying snacks, posing for photos, and chatting up patrons and employees. Federal officials say they do not allege Sheetz was motivated by racial animus, but they take issue with the way the chain uses criminal background checks to screen job seekers. Federal law mandates employment practices causing a disparate impact because of race and other protected classifications must be shown by the employer to be necessary to ensure the safe and efficient performance of the job, and even when such necessity is proven, the practice remains unlawful if there is an alternative practice available that is comparably effective in achieving the employer's goals but causes less discriminatory effect. It wasn't clear how many job applicants have been affected, but the agency said the unlawful hiring practices date to at least 2015. The
unlawful. That's
so
great.
A job applicants filed complaints, and the EEOC found that black job applicants were
where we know
white applicants, only 8% of white applicants were refused employment because of a failed criminal background check, but 14.5% of black applicants were turned away, and 13.5% of Native American or Native Americans are 13, multiracial is 13.5% were rejected because of a criminal background check. So there you go. Even if you have no racial animus, you're not racist at all, you're not trying to do anything racist, if you background check your employees, according to the federal government, you have committed racism and you are going to have to, they're going to have to pay people that were, like, the way this is going to go is what they have, what they're going to have to do. If they lose this lawsuit, is they're going to have to go back and, like, pay people the wages they supposedly deserved and stuff. And if they'll have to, like, hire people that were not hired or pay them, like, the wages they would have gotten wrongfully.
What a frigging, what a, and that's the same thing. When you hire activists.
Yeah.
All they do is destroy stuff. God.
Yeah, they're not going to build a convenience store chain that works better, even though they'll sit around here and tell you that, you know, hiring people who fail background checks is actually going to make your company much better. You know, but they're not going to go put their money where their mouth is and start a convenience store chain that hires people who fail criminal background checks.
No, it's like Liz Warren going after Apple now because of people in group chats are inconvenienced. So Liz Warren needs to be involved. It's like, what has Liz Warren ever freaking done for anything?
Right. Exactly. Another thing I wanted to touch, this is related to us tonight. Did you see this Diane Yap, who, I don't know what she is. Ooh. She writes a Substack.
Do I like her?
I don't think so. I can't really tell. But she posted today. This is quite a take to me. She writes,
like her.
If your child can't reliably obey the command quiet, they don't belong in public spaces where they can bother others, especially planes. If you subject the public to them anyway, you're an inconsiderate person and you don't deserve to be a part of civilized society. Spare me the excuses, cut straight to the chase, and simply admit you're a bad parent who can't control your own children.
I admit.
Who's in charge? Well, act like it. How old does a baby have to be to learn the lesson of, if you do something I don't want you to do, you won't enjoy the consequences?
Okay, so I've got several feelings. I have not, I did not know this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think she's just trolls a lot. But we'll take her seriously for this. I once felt this way. I once felt that, and I used to say this, my mother would call me at work in the radio station and say, I can't say that out loud anymore, about noisy kids and when kids were a-holes and I didn't have any kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody would mate with me until you came along. I used to say that, why is it my fault that you didn't use a condom? You know, for like noisy kids in planes, mm-hmm. whatever. I didn't say it to them, but I should say it on the air.
Yeah, because you're scared.
Yes, correct. Yes, back to me. Except with I'd say it to Aiden, but other
Speaking
than that.
Speaking of children who don't listen to you.
What did he just do, Alice?
He bit me.
Bit me where?
You know where.
Okay. I like, good boy. Good boy, Peter Rabbit. Good boy. Bite mommy again.
No,
if he's going to occupy the breasts, Alice, well, that's what you get. You wanted him to, you let him in. There you go.
Peter.
I rarely did that, let the record show. No, so I used to be heartless before I had a kid, and I had no time for that. And once I had kids, it certainly changes you. People without kids have no clue what it takes. And I remember one time our little girl, when we had her, she was like three, ran away from us in a restaurant and went into the bar section. And I was looking for her, and I said, did anybody see like little girl? And I heard a guy at the bar say, nice parenting. And I'm sure he didn't have kids, but I remember I heard him, and I was tempted to stick a fork in his Adam's apple and yank it out and force feed it to his girlfriend. On the merits, I agree. Your kid shouldn't freaking ruin an experience. But, and I've been.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
No, I don't fly with my kids. So,
but, I mean, and she clarified later in some comments because people were like, so what, people with kids, like, shouldn't travel? Right. And she was like, no, get your own car, get your own plane. You shouldn't be in public if your kids don't listen to you. Yeah. Which, as we all know, though, like, you know, your kids could listen to you 99% of the time and you could end up with drawing a bad hand when you're on a plane.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. And, like, we certainly try to make sure that the kids shut the hell up. I mean, like, we were somewhere yesterday or two days ago, whatever it was. I don't know. And our son, is he six? Our six-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
He was speaking loudly in the restaurant. And so we're like, I say nicely, please refrain from.
My fourth grade teacher used to say 12-inch voices, and it stuck with me.
That's what I say. I say nice. Alice says, shut the F up to them. I would never say that.
12-inch voices so that people can only hear you if they're 12 inches away.
So, but she's obviously a monster, this chick who doesn't have any kids. Definitely. And I understand that. I mean. I don't like kids, so I don't care. I'm right there with you. I'm on Team Yap. I like her. Diane Yap and Tom Shattuck are aligned. I'm with her.
Yeah.
Shut your kids up, and that includes your kids. You keep your kids quiet, too, Alice.
I'm trying. I guess I'm a bad parent because Peter doesn't listen to me at all. So then I asked you if you'd heard any of this topic, and you hadn't heard anything about this, so I'm excited to talk to you about this. I happened across this because Ross Douthat, if that's how you say his name, I don't know, at the New York Times. He was tweeting about this. And this is fascinating to me because this is something I've been like on about for a while, but it's starting to hit the mainstream. And I guarantee you're going to see this start to become more and more mainstream. Not like, I don't know if it's going to jump all the way to like CNN right away, but you know, like, I bet you Tucker is going to cover this because he's touched some of the, like, UFO stuff and some of the wackier stuff. So anyway, there's this type of, I guess, a kind of, like, therapy. It's called IFS. internal family systems. And internal family systems, it's a type of therapy that uses psychedelics and guided meditation and sort of these like other spiritual practices. A lot of them, you know, use substances like ayahuasca or mushrooms and stuff like that, okay. Right?
What's ayahuasca?
It's like that Native American drug thing for like spiritual journey stuff. God. Anyway.
Morgan's gonna probably all for it.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, there's... So, like, Cernovich tweets about this a lot, too. But anyway, so this guy...
No, Morgan is not all for it. He's a businessman. There's one product that he's for, I bet.
So anyway, so this guy wrote a big article about this place, Internal Family Systems. He is a... He's a writer who writes about psychotherapy, you know, leading a happy life, how it ties in with ancient philosophy, how like cognitive behavioral therapy is related to Greek philosophy and like all this stuff. So he's like very interested in the human mind and like the way the ancients saw it and the way people see it in modern times and all this stuff. Anyway, he wrote this big article, which is I've seen a bunch of people tweeting about because it's really fascinating, about IFS, because IFS has recently admitted that their form of therapy quite frequently finds, as people who are involved in spiritual spaces have known for a long time, that a lot of times people, when they do these spiritual experiences, particularly certain types of guided meditations, and especially if you're doing like out-of-body experiences, mushrooms, ayahuasca, like a lot of these things, you do encounter spiritual entities that are outside of yourself, or at least that you perceive to be outside of yourself.
So when you're tripping, you encounter other people who aren't you.
Yeah. And when you do like astral projection, people who do stuff like that, or certain types of guided meditation, like even if it's not with drugs, like you do encounter other, like, whatever, not necessarily people that aren't
you. So this is me doing mushrooms and then seeing somebody walk over to me and having a conversation.
Yeah. Or like near-death experiences.
When you say outside of you, what does that mean?
So
I'm not imagining it?
Well, let me explain. I'll add one more example to the pile, which is near-death experiences is another one that almost universally in near-death experiences across cultures, across boundaries, although they have very different views of it, of what this experience means, almost always people meet somebody when they're having their near-death experience. A lot of times in Western culture, you'll like see your loved ones who like beckon you to come to the light or whatever. But in many cultures, you'll meet like a guide, or a lot of cultures feel it's like a god that you meet that like talks to you about like your life or goes through your life experiences with you. A lot of things like that.
It's interesting. Right? Okay.
So, but I mean, these things are universally known. Like ancient people certainly did types of spiritual practices where they encountered gods and met with them and talked to them, right? Like pagan cultures do it now. Hindus do it. Native American cultures do it. Like they encounter spirit guides and stuff, right? Like it's been known, and you know, Christian monks and stuff have always encountered like angels, demons, etc., right?
Let me tell you, I talked to somebody today.
Yeah.
During my first walk, I talked to somebody today about this. And he's a guy who I've known for 20 years. And a couple of years ago, went into rehab.
Yeah.
You know, just alcohol led to bigger drugs, and it snowballed from there.
Right.
Professional. You know him. Great guy, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But crap just got out of control and just... And it happens. So you get sucked into the vortex. And so he had to go a couple years ago to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
His feeling was he'll do the rehab. It'll make people feel like that he's doing something. His family, like, okay, so, I'll do my stint, my, you know.
Your time.
13 weeks, whatever it is. And then everybody will shut the hell up. And he had a bunch of people during this, you know, like in this, it's, you know, it's heavily, this is a big rehab facility, like beautiful, top of the line. And he had different people coming in at different times and saying, you know what, you just, you need to try to give yourself to God and get through this. And, you know, we found that I've been sober now for 6 years, and I've never been happier in my life. I've never been so fulfilled in my life, etc. It feels more enjoyable to me than any drug in the world, my sobriety and my faith in Jesus Christ, etc. And he said to me, and I found this was interesting, he said, I thought they were all full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, these are essentially actors who this place sends in to talk about whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'll just get through this. I'll do my 16 weeks or whatever it is. And then I'll be the hell out of here. So he did. He, for 11 days, he played the part and said, well, it's really interesting. Wow. Well, all these people who are now sober kept coming in and talking to him and giving him all this advice, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he thought he had the system beat.
Right.
So, and then he said 11 days in that a guy came into his room unscheduled,
mm-hmm,
and talked to him and said he was Jesus Christ and that he was to come with him on a journey and some other things. And nothing, not John, this is, I'm here to see, nothing. It was a visual of a human being who he talked to, who came, mm-hmm, into him. And he immediately, from that moment on, and this is not a guy who ever believes in this stuff,
mm-hmm,
and he has been totally turned by this visitation. This, mm-hmm, what he considers it literally a conversation with God in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And not the Hollywood version.
Right.
And I try to visualize what it would be to see something supernatural but have it be real. And to me, the only example I have is us seeing the comet, you know, and the path of totality where like well.
The eclipse, you mean?
I'm sorry, the eclipse, yeah. So anyway, so I guess that counts as one of these, right?
I mean, I suppose.
Although there was no drugs involved because he was in rehab.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't necessarily take that, but certain types of therapy and guided meditation and other things can also induce those experiences.
How interesting.
So,
well, that would be cool.
So, well, okay, so listen to this, though, because so IFS, this particular one that is now admitting that they know that this happens, and I mean, like, your mileage may vary. You might say that this is... We know very little about the brain, and this is just something that the brain naturally cooks up and always has. But like it or not, this is an extremely common human experience that people have known about for a long time. So it's not like all the people who ever existed before 1800 and all these people that are all into these spiritual practices now, they're just all like crazy or lying. Like, this is a real thing that people experience. So there's something to it, whether you think it's like a way the human brain works or what, I don't know. But so IFS was developed by Dick Schwartz 40 years ago, growing out of his work in a type of therapy. The central idea is that the self is multiple and is made up of different parts. So he has a book called No Bad Parts, and you like investigate these parts of yourself. Like a manager who tries to keep control of your psyche, firefighters who manage the defending of your ego, exiles who are like dissociated or wounded parts of yourself. So they have all these things. So this is all from this article. It's at ecstaticintegration.org. This guy, Jules Evans, wrote this whole big expose on IFS and their history here, if you want to read into this more. But so basically the way their type of therapy works is you identify your inner parts, you give them names, you make friends of them, and you welcome them into your self energy so that they can relax and feel safe. So in their belief is that there are no bad parts. So you welcome all these parts of yourself in and you integrate them with your self, right? So there's 10,000 people on the waiting list for level one training from this IFS Institute. So this is not like a 10-person weird little cult. This is a pretty big thing. He says in this article that he knows people in the therapy world who swear by this and that it's great. And then he writes this: a core IFS dogma is that there are no bad parts, but it turns out this is not entirely true. There are some parts which are not a part of yourself. On the plus side, there are guides, angelic beings, and there are what they call unattached burdens, or UBs, what would traditionally be known as jinns or demons. UBs have been a bit of an IFS secret. this guy, Robert, shoot, what's his last name? Is in here somewhere. Robert Falconer. He's this IFS guy who's been on them to make this more of a thing.
I don't know that name, Falconer.
I don't know.
Is that the guy in War Games?
Dr. Falconer? I don't know. Okay, so Bob, Robert Falconer, has been on it because he says UBs have been a bit of an IFS secret, taught only in the level 3 training until recently. But a year ago, Bob published a book about UBs, Unattached Burdens. And in this book, which has been influential in the IFS and in underground psychedelic culture, he's been interviewed on podcasts about this and stuff. These demonic entities, let's call them, are like big. So they used to not call them UBs because they were like scared of what they were calling them. You know, they were saying like, what were they calling them at first? They were calling them critters. That they would run into these like creatures.
Yes.
When they were here. And so then they started saying like, we can't, nobody's going to take us seriously as like a therapy. Mm-hmm. If we talk about meeting critters when we're on our spiritual journeys, we have to like
call them UBs.
Yeah. They're UBs. They're unattached burdens. So now people will,
that's what you call me.
Yeah. The UV. So anyway, so he's been on them to like admit this so that they can talk about it more openly and say like, what is this experience? What are they? So,
man, you love minutiae.
So Robert Falconer has been writing about this and they're like talking about what do we do about this issue that like some of the parts that we're trying to get people to integrate, these aren't part of them at all, right? These are things which people don't recognize as any part of themselves. And like on the one hand, you meet people who say they've met spiritual guides who are, I would argue that we don't understand enough about spiritual life to know whether or not the being that we're talking to has our best interest at heart and is a good one or not. They can seem like you're on your side. They can lie to you. They can tell you stuff that's not true.
How do you know?
Because.
Do you deal with these?
I don't, but I know that a lot of people have historically and that's true. There's the most influential.
Can I tell you what? Something else? Mm-hmm. One, the word I would want to tell you usually, it's a shot glass. Do you know what that means?
It means you're done learning about this.
Well, you're pouring a beer into a shot glass right mm-hmm. now. This conversation, I believe, may be too deep for me.
Okay, but I want to get into this.
But
I want
to go down. Some listeners who may still be with us.
So, but they've been talking about, they have like methods to try and get because they believe that unattached burdens, bad ones, can inhabit and possess people. This is like so they have methods. They're like, there's traditional exorcisms, but they think you should like nicely ask it to leave and stuff. So they have some methodologies to deal with it. But it's wild because they are like taken seriously by some people in the therapy world as like a serious, and they've kept it secret.
So means
that
I
people
just
who
to
do their type of therapy run into demons.
So I can,
and that they
else,
have methods
have
to
fat,
deal with that.
I can have the fat drunk just leave me.
And is that a demon or is that a part of yourself? I don't know. And do we even necessarily know? Anyway, but and then this, you know, this article talks more. It's a great article about, you know, psychedelic culture and, you know, what do we know about this? Is this type of therapy even good? Could it potentially be harmful? Like, if you're telling me that in so many words, you don't know what to call it so that people will still take you seriously.
I'm so happy you're
attractive. Your type of therapy gives people demonic possession sometimes. Like, that's like concerning from a psychotherapy point of view, is it not?
If you weren't
one of the possible side effects of doing our therapy is that a demon might possess you. Like, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, but the fact that like mainstream people like Ross Douthat are tweeting about this, and it's interesting, like I think this is going to get out there more. So sort of the biggest work on this topic from an Orthodox Christian perspective is that book by, it's by a monk called Seraphim Rose, Father Seraphim Rose, and he writes about, it's called The Soul After Death, but he talks a lot about this happening historically and how it's viewed in different cultures. And I mean, this is a very well-documented phenomenon that people experience this stuff. So, Like, I'm just intrigued that we're, like, getting back into it and these sort of pseudoscientific groups are trying to, like, explain what it is and why it's happening and how to handle it because it's incredibly ancient.
You know what you are, Alice?
What?
You're one of the Simon Pegg movies where Act 3 goes just totally freaking bizarrely off the ledge. And it turns out the drinks in the pub are actually the town's full of zombies.
I know it starts off as like a buddy comedy.
Are we still
and
in
then
the Burn
like,
Barrel no. podcast?
Yes, we are still in the Burn Barrel podcast. I guarantee you think I'm crazy, but I guarantee you're going to start seeing this out there more and more because people, just like with the UFO stuff, people have been covering up that, like the experts, quote unquote, in their different fields have been covering up that they know that this stuff happens and that they don't want to admit that it happens because they don't have a framework to address it. Do you know what I'm saying? Just like with the UFOs. This is like therapy people are going to have to come to grips with the fact that they're going to encounter this stuff.
If I'm your PC right there right now, imagine how ferociously loud my fan is right now. Trying to cool off the...
Trying to process this information.
Is that part done?
Yeah, I'll let you go.
Holy hell.
We can go to the hot sauce now if you want. That's, of course, the Chelsea Fire Wicked hot sauce, which brings us the Chelsea Fire Wicked Shat Chat.
Once again, what you just did there for the last hour and 40 minutes was assert attractive woman privilege.
Because you would not have let me talk about that if I were a dude or ugly or something.
Like Rosie O'Donnell, and I would have walked out of this room if you weren't attractive. But I was mostly just watching your mouth move, and that's like I need so little.
Okay.
Whoa.
I'm glad we're here. I put the article in the chat for those of you who are interested.
I apologize for everybody. Okay, here we go, Abby.
Hi, BBs. It's Les. Yesterday, we passed the fifth Sunday of Lent. Coming into that home stretch, yesterday was the Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt, not to be confused with St. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And that.
Where this house?
Or, of course, or Mary Magdalene, which often confuses her with the. In the West, they confuse her with Mary Magdalene a bit. Yes, a great penitent, the model of penitence in the church.
That woman's story, that martyr, is something for Law and Order SVU, but it was a significant enough story for her to be commemorated on the fifth Sunday of Lent. Story of sin, hopelessness, redemption, forgiveness,
wow,
and martyrdom and elevation. And it's shocking. But now we proceed to the best part of Great Lent, which is Holy Week. Next week, Lazarus Saturday and Palm Sunday. Can't wait for it. And God bless you all. And God bless you, my sister in Christ. On a completely contradictory note.
Yes.
Tom, when you were saying Alice was having some kind of times last week and feeling some kind of way, you weren't kidding because I tuned into yesterday's show on the fifth Sunday of Lent and I'm hearing Alice talking about Kent State and talking about the preference for guillotines over other forms of capital punishment. And I got to say, tough to argue. Truly, the guillotines, especially, tough to argue
the merits
of what she was saying when you want to choose among options for capital punishment.
Yeah. Well, the problem with
the
guillotine, as I say it, giving no deference to the French, is that it's a crowd pleaser. And so it's hard to...
I mean, you could do it privately. It's allowed.
Right, but it's... I think the Nazis used guillotines. But it's...
I think the French used it up until, like, incredibly modern times.
No, I think that's right. The problem is it's a real big crowd pleaser, and it encourages more guillotining. As, you know, when you look at the French Revolution, they were out of select groups to kill. But the crowd wanted more. So, you know, you'd be a good guillotined person.
The last use of the guillotine in France was in September 1977.
Jesus. It's funny because in so many ways the French are just so like so much like Aiden, but in a lot of ways, no. And like the fact that like all the married men have 17-year-old paramours that they chain smoke with and have sex with.
Yeah, they're if people think like the American national anthem is bad too, the Marseillaise is like incredibly bloody and violent too. If you
it's a good song though, right? That's the All You Need Is Love song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are quite violent, so you know, I mean, what are you gonna, the French have a streak of something.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to that clock boy. You know, those Obama said, oh, he's just, it's just a clock, even though it was like...
With the suitcase.
Clock.
Mm-hmm. Remember the kid that got investigated because he was traveling with his clock that he made for like some kind of science fair,
right.
And like it looked like a bomb, and then they claimed that it was like discrimination because they were Muslim. Remember that whole thing?
Now I do. Oh,
clock
God.
Boy, right.
Parts in a suitcase. Bro, that looks like a bomb. And we were called xenophobic for calling it out. No, Whitey, you can't say that.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, I wonder what he's doing now. Ugh. Maybe an Uber driver. I don't know what the kid is doing now. But that was really weird because it looked like a bomb.
Yeah, it looked like a bomb. I was also for the police coming down on those light, bright people from 2008. That dude. Did you date him? He's the kind of guy you would have dated. Is he not?
I don't know him.
The German kid or whatever.
I don't know the German kid.
Yeah, you do. Wait a second. Did you know him?
No.
You lived in Arlington Heights, right?
I don't know. What year was that?
Yeah. No. Did you not live in Arlington Heights?
At one point, I did.
Okay. And so did he.
I don't think so.
And you knew that. How many times did you date?
I didn't date anybody like that. No.
How many times did you date?
I didn't.
You definitely did.
I didn't.
Him. Oh, definitely. This is a.
No.
This
no.
is an Andy.
Stop making things up
Andy
about
the Viking
me. It's
story.
Not true.
Because you're a bad liar, Else.
I'm
everybody
not a
can
liar.
Tell. Wow. Oh, the baby, is he laughing?
No.
No.
Hey, so Dave Matthews Band is going to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's
I'm
fantastic.
Sure that's a band Tom actually likes. That'd be quite humorous. You know, he has a disdain for
kidding me
for Counting Crows and Carlos Santana. But when it comes to a band like Dave Matthews Band,
hey there, $150 billion chord changes in 10 seconds. I'd rather put a shotgun in my mouth and blast away than listen to 5 seconds of the freaking Dave Matthews jazz chord change band. He sucks. Although the guy I was just talking about, who was visited by Jesus Christ, smoked weed with Dave Matthews in the 90s. Hmm. Dave Matthews. Justin. Jesus! Just find some Weezer.
The best way to get back at colleges
yes.
is to defund them from the government. It's the government to defund them.
Yeah,
would be the best way.
Well, they're exempt from taxes. That would be a big one.
Exempt from taxes. That would be one. And the student loans would be the other one because, they'd immediately have to lay off everybody if they lost federal student loans.
Harvard owns, like, a good portion of Greater Boston.
If they could tax that property, Boston has.
And we're not talking Harvard Yard.
Yeah,
we're talking
more. Not just Harvard, but like Boston, the city itself has a ton of colleges too, that own
BU.
A huge amount of property.
Yes,
BU has an incredible amount of property.
Like,
in
there's
the city
no
of
reason
Boston.
Why BU's and, housing facilities should be tax exempt.
Right. So, what's crazy is like Boston has a huge, huge tax deficit. We're not deficit, like shortfall right
yes.
now because so many places are leaving the city and the property values of the commercial real estate are plummeting. So they have a huge problem right now and they're going to continue to have problems. And like, I mean, have at them. Get rid of the things for the colleges. That's a big one.
Back at these punks who are all just protesting because they don't know any better because they were never taught history. And they go right. to these schools, which are basically led by communists and taught a completely alternative version of history. And now they're out there, you know, not allowing a Jew to get into his class. It's repugnant. So, you know, hopefully in November, DJT will be 47. And then as soon as he gets into office, he can just start pulling the funding of all these hoity-toity Ivy Leagues. And that'd be the end
of
it.
No problemo.
On top of that, I would get rid of all the NGOs, or I would stop giving money to all the NGOs, let them dry up, close the border, and start deportation. Just imagine, like, 2 full years of employment flying airplanes back and forth from the United States to wherever. You could make insane money being on the deportation squad, Tom.
Yeah.
Just need a pilot's license. I don't know. Can you drive a truck? You got a CDL, anything like that? Just think about it.
Seriously. No, I'd be all for it. All for it. And I believe, by the way, that we can deport 5 million people. I believe it can be done. This idea that, like, suddenly deportations can't happen. Anything can happen if you want it to happen. The problem is that too many people don't want anything to happen, which is, of course, why we're in this position altogether.
Breakfast tacos.
All right, Alice. It's right about now where you can hear the outro music. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to my stuff about weird spiritual experiences people have, although they're not that weird, as you're going to find out. Mark my words. You'll look back on this day and you'll think, Alice warned me that this was going to go mainstream like the UFOs have gone mainstream.
You look good in a turtleneck. I don't know why you do, but you look good in a turtleneck, and you look oddly hot in a winter hat, which is something we're going to look at Alice in hats this year. This year's theme is the year of hats. The year of you in hats.
Okay. So anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the more normal stuff too. BurnBarrelPodcast.com.
C'est la vie.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.